Episode 92 and a half. We're talking foot soldiers tonight.
We're rocking out in the AFC East. We got the Jets and we got the Bills. Ryan's won the coin toss. He chose to take the ball. So we are going to start in the Big Apple. Did you guys hear Aaron Rodgers plays for the Jets now? Did you hear about that?
That's right.
I consulted with a now good friend of mine, Joe Rogan. After he got COVID, I've been taking monoclonal antibodies, ivermectin, zinc, vitamin C and D, HCQ.
To get into the quarterback room, I'm nervous. I don't know what this is like. You know, this guy's the GOAT. This offense is a real West Coast offense. Like, there's a lot of responsibility. Shut the door. And the first thing that comes out of Aaron Rodgers' mouth was, "You believe in 9/11?
Yeah, let's talk about a team where I don't know if I've ever seen a combination of players getting pulled toward the Jets just because of influence from a quarterback that was trying to get there. Because was Lazard and Cobb signed before Rodgers signed?
Yeah.
Yeah. To sweeten the deal, make Rodgers want
to come. He is Lord Rael.
I mean, not even Tom Brady did anything like that in his career.
I don't think Brady has that cult of personality, though. Yeah. I think Rodgers definitely has that weird, like, cult leader type. I know we shit on him all the time, but, like, he's just a weird dude. And I think people who play professional sports like that kind of weird dude.
Yeah.
He's going to convince the entire team to play on mushrooms this year. You guys know that. Week 12, the mushroom fiasco. All right. So Aaron Rodgers last year had a not too good year in terms of his numbers. 542 pass attempts, 350 completions for almost 3,700 yards. He only had a 91.1 quarterback rating, 64.58 completion percentage. He was 54.2 against the man. He really loves playing against the zone. He was 74.6 against the zone.
Yeah, because just like the Illuminati, he can see through the holes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He threw 12 interceptions, 81 red zone attempts, 6.8 yards per attempt. He had 24 danger plays, and his deep ball completion was 37.5.
Woof.
Yeah.
Wow, he sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. It was not good last year. He did have 22 money throws, though. I don't know. Tony, in your metrics, do you want to explain to our listening audience what money throws are?
Yeah, it's a player profiler stat that essentially talks about throws that were successful that required a high degree of difficulty. So super tight window or distance.
Or an amazing catch.
A perfect throw, basically.
Yeah. There's some hope, though. Aaron Rodgers finally is on a team now that has some decent wide receivers. Like I said earlier, he brought two with him from Green Bay. I don't know how he convinced them to grab Randall Cobb, but maybe they're just thinking it was a joke to me, honestly. Rodgers should have a better year than last year, even though he's going into he's going to turn 40 this year during the season, I think.
In human years, yeah.
Right. He still has a lot left to give, which is why I thought they gave him the contract they did. Granted, he just threw back $35 million at him. That happened during the week. So they could restructure. And I think what's going to happen is Dalvin Cook's going to sign with this team. I don't know why else he would take that pay cut. And then, of course, we know Dalvin Cook's meeting with the team this weekend. I'd be shocked if they didn't sign him. But at the same time, a lot of the reason no one has signed Dalvin Cook is that looming suspension that could potentially happen.
Dalvin Cook, not a good guy.
But of all the teams that have possibility to grab Dalvin Cook, it would be this one because they have a decent running back core, and they drafted Abanaconda, who was, you know, basically the best running back in football last year.
Yeah, in college, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, in college. Not in the NFL. Right now I've got Rodgers projected around 560 pass attempts for around 4,200. I got him at 4,175.
Oh, okay.
A little regression on the interceptions. I got him at 10 interceptions, and I have him at 32 touchdowns. That's 6 more than he had last year. But he's going to have a lot more opportunity with the weapons he has in this passing offense.
I agree.
We'll get to the schedule later, and we're going to look at that, and that may negate a lot of my more than conservative projections. But I have high hopes for Rodgers this year. He's been given a team that he hasn't had in a while, probably since you know, when he won the Super Bowl. So let's look at Breece Hall. We all know he's coming off the ACL. We still are unsure whether he's going to be ready for the first few weeks of the season, which is also another reason they might be meeting with Dalvin Cook. I did write down, I read something earlier that he is practicing and stuff, and he was actually clocked at 23 miles an hour during workouts, yeah, running the other day. His numbers last year before he tore his ACL, what week was that, Tony? That was like
6?
It was, yeah, no, he was in week 7, so it was halfway through his...
Right.
Yeah.
So, tore his ACL, played 6 full weeks and part of a game. He had already amassed 80 carries for 463 yards. He had a 5.8 average. That is ridiculous.
Yep.
All right? 4 touchdowns, 19 receptions on 218 yards, and another touchdown. He had 7 carries within the 5-yard line. And he also had 171 yards after the catch. I'm projecting this year. Okay, say let's... What do you think is a good bet on the week that he comes back at? Week 3, if it's that bad?
See, I think that he's active for week 1. They just ease him in terms of carries.
Yeah, so he's not on PUP.
I think the real question is like, what week do you think he assumes the workload that he's going to get for the rest of the... Right.
Okay. Yeah.
And I would say that's got to be around week 4 or 5. It'd be almost a year removed from the injury.
Sure. Right now, I've got him at around 215 carries, a little under 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns. Got him around 40 receptions for 350 yards and 2 touchdowns. Obviously, these numbers could change if Cook becomes involved. But like I said, they've still got 3 more guys at the running back position that are talent, which could in some of these carries. We'll look at Michael Carter, 114 carries last year on 402 yards and 3 touchdowns. He was heavily involved in the pass game, 41 receptions for 288 yards. I've got him right now maybe around 60 carries for 250 yards. Obviously, he had a lot of those carries last year after Breece Hall went down. Right. So he's going to have some regression with the addition of Abanaconda. And they still have Zonovan Knight. All right. He got involved, especially after Breece Hall's injury. 85 carries for 300 yards and a touchdown. Not really much in the passing game. 13 receptions for 100 yards. But he's still there. And he's a good rookie talent from last year, then coming into his second year. And like I said, they also have Israel Abanaconda, who... Last year, in 11 games, he had 1,431 yards. Just in 11 games.
My running back 4.
Tony is the Izzy guy, so you are preaching to the choir right now.
20 touchdowns on 239 carries. That's ridiculous for 11 games.
Yeah.
He joined the likes last year of LaDainian Tomlinson. Yeah, in his college career, of LaDainian Tomlinson and Ricky Williams as one of only three players in the last 25 years to rush for over 300 yards in a game and have six or more touchdowns.
Let's go.
He's got some promise, man. And it kind of shocked me when I was looking at all these numbers throughout the week. Like, why were they even going after Dalvin Cook? Like, what, you know, you've got someone that's got, let him have a chance. You know,
I mean, he was a fifth rounder, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, was the probability of him being like fantasy relevant is like very low, but I mean,
right.
You can have a free agent like Austin Eckler come in and rip shit up. Right. So it's like,
there's tons of undrafted free agents that do shit like that too.
I think this is just a Aaron Rodgers fucking psychic vampire move. If he just wants everybody to come here, where it's like, they have plenty of running back depth. They drafted Michael Carter 2 years ago in the second round or third round.
Right.
I mean, playoffs aren't won in September. You want to use these guys in rotation, keep them fresh for December.
Take in mind too, that all my projections were written before, you know, this potential Dalvin Cook thing is going down.
I still think, even with Dalvin Cook, I think your Breece Hall projections are spot on.
For sure.
I might project him for more yards, but the carries, I think you nailed.
Yeah, and at the time, I was thinking Abanaconda, after the first few weeks, might emerge as the official, like, number two, and come over Zonovan Knight and Michael Carter. They're still going to use Michael Carter and third downs plays a lot and in passing, but right now I have Abanaconda at a little over 100 carries for around 500 yards, 5 TDs. He could get involved in the pass game, 30 receptions, maybe a little over 200 yards and a couple touchdowns. But that's before all this Dalvin Cook started.
That's what I, when you said that, you know, and saying that you wrote this before Dalvin Cook, that's what Dalvin Cook's going to get, you know, and you just move everybody down the
ladder. Right. So let's talk about the wide receiver core they got. Now, take in mind, all this stuff was written before this Garrett Wilson injury that just happened yesterday with the ankle. It's a real sensitive area for wide receivers because they need that ankle to pivot and make really, you know, cut routes and stuff like that. They got to have super, super really good legs.
They got to butter. He's a wide receiver. You need your ankles.
Right.
Right.
Last year, 83 receptions. This is like horrible because this is almost like 55 or 60% completion percentage. And it's all a product of having Zach Wilson as your quarterback. 83 receptions on almost 150 targets.
Yeah.
And he still managed to get over 1,100 yards, 4 touchdowns. That's 53 uncatchable targets.
Those are Marcus Mariota numbers.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. So 147 or 83 out of 147, like I said, that's around 55%. And 53 of those were just uncatchable. That's fucking hate Zach Wilson. 19 deep targets. He actually had 11 end zone targets, 5 red zone receptions. He's going to be their main wide receiver this year. And Rodgers is going to feed him. I really hope he just gets fed.
Yeah.
Cause right now I have him around 95 receptions for around 1,250 yards for 7 touchdowns. Rodgers loves his wide receivers in the end zone and his red zone targets.
Yeah.
As evidenced through Randall Cobb's playing years in Green Bay, not last year, but you know, what was that year that Cobb just went off and he had over 10 touchdowns?
Yeah.
That was like 5-6 years ago.
No, that was like 2014.
Oh, that was that long ago?
Holy shit. And that's why he still has a contract, because Aaron Rodgers cannot let go of the past.
Yep.
Right. They've got Alan Lazard, who's got plenty of chemistry with Rodgers.
Old stone hands.
Last year, 60 receptions on 100 targets for 788 yards, 6 touchdowns. But what's really interesting about Lazard is his ADOS, his average depth of target was 13.1.
Damn.
Sorry, it was 12.42. He had 13.1 yards average on his targets.
Is Alan Lazard the Cortland Sutton of this team?
Yeah, most likely, right?
I'm shitting on him. I'm not trying to make him like, oh, he's a wide receiver too. I'm just saying, like, he has all these targets and he's just bad.
I mean, I think he's going to have the second most snaps among the Giants or the Jets wide receivers, right?
100%, yes.
Sure. And decent amount of those will be out of the slot. He played 171 snaps out of the slot last year.
Interesting.
He also had 24 deep targets from Rodgers. Right now, I've got him around 70 receptions for 800 yards and 7 touchdowns.
I can see it. Like I said,
Rodgers loves his wide receivers in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Mecole Hardman coming into this year off, you know, playing famously with Kansas City and Mahomes. I really don't know what to expect out of Mecole Hardman with this offense. I mean, playing with Mahomes, he only had 25 receptions on 34 targets, barely cracked 300 yards, 4 touchdowns.
You know what happened, right? Rodgers was like, I want Alan Lazard. And Alan Lazard came to New York and he's like, I want Randall Cobb. And Randall Cobb went to New York and he's like, I want Marquez Valdez-Scantling. And MVS was like, nah, bro, I'm in Kansas City. That's like way
better. Yeah, right.
So he's like, all right, I want his non-union equivalent.
And right. I want to make the Super Bowl.
Right. And so they were like, all right, here's the, you know, Jewel Osco brand MVS in Mecole Hardman. Here you go.
Right. Shane, you hit it spot on. I have him right around 50 receptions. A little over 500 yards and 4 or 5 touchdowns, assuming he stays healthy the whole year. And then we've got Corey Davis. We've got Randall Cobb. Rodgers has got like...
Gross.
There's just so much other. And I think that's why I'm apprehensive about Garrett Wilson, right? Like, yes, the dude is elite. This is my argument whenever I have this conversation with people. I'm not saying Garrett Wilson is bad. I'm not saying he's a fade because of his talent level. I'm just saying there's too many fucking mouths to feed in this offense. Even with those passing attempts still being high, if all these dudes are getting the lion's share, or not lion's share, but all these guys are getting pieces of the pie, so much just has to go right for Garrett Wilson to hit these metrics that people are like, he's going to finish wide receiver 8.
Right.
Like, you have literally talked about these wide receivers who are going to get 500 yards, right? Like, you add that up, that's still like 1,500 yards between these last 4 dudes who, like, we're not going to touch in fantasy, right? Like, in viable NFL, it's going to nuke the value of this asset. So that's me and my paranoia.
Not to mention, now we throw in the mix Tyler Conklin and CJ Uzama.
Dude, this is the room of mid.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I think Tyler Conklin is a much better tight end than he's ever been given an opportunity to be.
Yeah. Right. And especially with Rodgers, seeing as how well he vibed with Tonyan and his tight ends in Green Bay, Conklin could be in for an interesting year. I've got him right around 50 receptions for 450 yards, maybe 4 touchdowns. Last year he had 58 on 87 for 550 yards. I'm not as bullish on him this year just because of the wide receiver core that Rodgers has. But Conklin and Uzama could make for interesting DFS plays this year, just trying to guess which one of them is going to get that touchdown and their 50 yards in that game.
Yeah.
Potentially 3 or 4 catches. So we'll go back to Rodgers really quick. Are you guys doing Aaron Rodgers or Geno Smith?
I'm Geno.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I go Geno too, but it's closer than if you would have asked me that before we started doing research, I would have been like Geno by a mile, but now I'm like Geno, but it's closer than people think.
I won't be surprised if Rodgers finishes above Geno.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers or Jared Goff?
Goff.
Aaron Rodgers or Trevor Lawrence?
Shut up. Get the fuck out of here.
I know who Ryan's doing next week.
Yeah, right.
Breece Hall or Aaron Jones?
Good one. Aaron Jones.
Yeah, same for me.
Wow. Breece Hall or Joe Mixon?
Oh.
Wow. I got to go Breece.
Yeah, I think I'm there with you. Mixon's pretty ugly to me this year.
All right. Last one, Breece Hall or Travis Etienne?
Oh.
Breece.
Yeah, I'm not an Etienne guy. I just don't see it.
I think I'm going Breece. I just think the pass catching is just so much stronger.
Yes, that's exactly where my mentality went. Yeah, so Breece.
All right, let's go Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson or Christian Kirk?
At price, Christian Kirk is like a fifth rounder. Second rounder is Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, so Kirk at cost, but Wilson's the better player.
Fine, Garrett Wilson or Calvin Ridley?
Garrett Wilson at cost.
It's Garrett Wilson, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and this is one I heard the other day on one of those fantasy shows I listened to on XM. Garrett Wilson or Davante Adams?
It's Adams.
Adams, baby.
Wow, this guy was saying he would take Wilson. I'm sure it's before the injury.
But that's a lot of people are saying that, man. A lot of people are going with Wilson over Adams. And all of those people can kick rocks.
And then the final one, to appease Tony in the Discord. Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave?
Olave.
I'm going Derek Carr, baby.
I said it. Yeah, Chris Olave, man.
And I'm going Amon-Ra over Chris Wilson. Garrett Wilson too. So put that in your fucking flag.
I love Amon-Ra. I'll take Amon-Ra.
All right. Let's go through their schedule this year, because the Jets actually have the sixth toughest schedule this year, and you'll see why. And not only do they have the sixth toughest schedule, but because they now have Rodgers, they also have six primetime games.
Dude, this is going to be like Russ. We're just going to be like, oh, they're going to be so great, and we're just going to watch this fucking old man collapse in front of our eyes, and Patrick starts in the clown on him.
It might be bad. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Shane. We'll see. All right, so week one, Monday Night Football against the Buffalo Bills.
Loss.
Yeah, okay. it's an L.
Next week, Sunday night.
It's on 9/11, so we're never going to forget.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Trust the numbers.
Week two is not Sunday Night Football. It's Sunday afternoon. They're in Dallas.
It's a loss.
That's a loss.
Yeah.
Sunday at noon, week three, they play the Patriots.
W.
It's a win.
That's at home. All right. Then week four, they play Kansas City.
Loss.
That's a loss. They go to Mile High week five, play Denver.
Ooh.
That'll be close.
I'm going to give them a win.
That's going to be a defensive showdown, and I think it's a win.
All right. Week six, they play the Eagles at home.
Aaron Rodgers is going to get spanked by Jalen Hurts.
That's four losses.
Four out of six so far. Week seven, they can't lose because it's the bye week. Here's a really interesting matchup. They go to the Meadowlands and play the Giants.
They go to their home stadium and play the Giants.
Oh, wait, sorry.
That's a win.
Yeah.
Really? Again, at the Giants. Okay.
They play in the same stadium.
Okay. Monday Night Football. They play the Chargers at home.
I'm giving them a loss, man.
This is when Breece comes to form and just runs all over us. But Derwin James gets two picks.
Two primetime games in a row. Sunday Night Football in Las Vegas.
That they're going to beat Las Vegas's ass.
Yeah.
Okay. Next Sunday is an afternoon game. They go to Buffalo.
It's a loss.
They might split. They split last year, didn't they?
Yeah, we'll go with five. It's fine.
What is this? Why does this say Friday? 11. Oh, is that Thanksgiving? Or no.
Yeah.
They're having a Friday game now, right? After Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I think. Black Friday.
Yeah.
So they do Thursday. That's the Black Friday game. So that's at 3 o'clock Black Friday. They play the Dolphins at home.
I think they also split.
Yeah.
I think they win this game.
Yeah, they'll win at home.
And Prime actually got the rights to that too. So they have Thursday night and Black Friday football.
Okay.
Then they play at home the Falcons.
It's a win.
Then they play at home Houston.
It's a win.
It's a win.
Week before Christmas, they go down to Miami.
That's a loss. Loss.
Christmas Eve, they play at home against Washington.
It's a win.
That's a W.
Thursday night football, week before New Year's, they go to Cleveland.
I could see that being a loss.
I think Cleveland's potentially on the wild card push here.
Potentially.
Yeah, I'm giving them a loss. Fuck Aaron Rodgers.
The last game of the season, they go to Boston.
It's a win.
Yeah.
So that's seven losses. So 10-7.
Yeah, that's not bad. I had them at like 9-8.
Yeah, most people have them at 8-9, 9-8.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Do they make the playoffs?
Not in that division. No, not in the AFC East. Because
it feels like Miami and Buffalo are locks. You're right. That's two. Yeah,
right. I don't think they make it in that division.
Okay.
But the Jets will be interesting for fantasy. I think Garrett Wilson's someone you're going to want to have on your roster. If you're throwing dice, throwing darts at quarterback, Rodgers may be an interesting pick. He's going to have a lot of shitty weeks versus good weeks, but he'll still put up some numbers, I think, if you get him in the latter rounds and you're just not really worried about getting Mahomes or any one of the good quarterbacks.
Okay.
But yeah, that's the Jets. Anything else anyone wants to talk about the Jets?
Nope.
No. I love it. You did a good one. This is a good one.
I mean, they're going to be a fun team to watch, I think. You know, me and Tony have a mutual friend who knows nothing about football, but he consistently roots for the Jets. I just think because he likes the color green. But every time we watch football together, he's always rooting for the Jets. And that's kind of how I feel about the Jets this year.
All right.
The Jets.
They're the Jets. Go get them, Jets. That was good. So let's hop over to Buffalo and let's cover the Buffalo Bills.
So excited.
So you should be. So let's talk. Let's start up the top. We'll go Josh Allen, because no real changes in the coaching staff. Should be about where it was before. In fantasy points per game, Josh Allen was quarterback 2, which is not news. But
right,
it should be, because he did it while playing with the partially torn UCL in his throwing arm, which should, by the way, speak to how tough he is and how good he was.
And consistently would get on average 40 or more rushing yards a game.
And you know what? Like, there was valid concern there without Brian Daboll. Like, how's the offense going to look? And guess what? Suck it. he would have put up pretty much extremely similar numbers as he did last year, total numbers, if they didn't have one game cut short. So despite the smaller numbers in attempts and completions because of that, his passing yards would have ended up being higher. His ADOT went up a full yard in his first post-Daboll season.
Hell yeah.
So here were his finishes, his quarterback finishes by week before his injury. Quarterback 2, quarterback 4, quarterback 3, quarterback 5, quarterback 1, quarterback 3, quarterback 11, and quarterback 3. So you might think about, like, oh, there was that quarterback 11, right? Well, they were up 24-7 at halftime and stopped passing. So in his next 6 games after the injury, he failed to throw multiple touchdown passes in a game 4 times, and he had 86 less passing yards per game on average.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy.
He still ended up posting 4 more games as a top 5 fantasy quarterback, which is a testament to his running ability and the fact that as a fantasy football asset, he is the best fantasy football quarterback in the game.
Yeah.
He's not the best rushing quarterback, and he's not the best passing quarterback, but he's top 2 or 3 in each.
Yep.
He's a beast at all 3 levels, and he led the NFL in total air yards last year, even with an injury and a game that ended less than a quarter of the way in.
Oh, wow. He was the leader in air yards?
Total air yards? Yeah, because he fucking chucks
wow.
it.
I figured it'd be Mahomes.
I'm not sure if there's a next step for Josh Allen to take. He's still the team's running back 1. He carried the ball 26 times in the red zone last year. 2nd in the league in quarterback rushes inside the 5 with 11.
There was a time last year during Waleed's program where I bet the Millionaire Challenge. It would be your best bet of the week. And every week, like 5 weeks in a row, I crushed his over on rushing yards.
Yep.
Yep.
So let me just do a quick player comparison, okay? Josh Allen had 126 carries for 776 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. He's a running back.
Funny you should say that because A.J. Dillon had 187 carries for 770 yards and 7 touchdowns. So Josh Allen had better fantasy numbers than A.J. Dillon on 61 less carries.
Than a running back, yeah.
Just on pure rushing alone, Josh Allen was running back 39 last year.
Wow.
He was only 6 points behind Isaiah Pacheco. So
that's crazy.
That's fun. So how does he improve? Well, if his offensive line gets better, he was 32nd in protection, a metric which counts how often a quarterback is hurried and forced to throw within 3 seconds. So he was dead last. Allen was the number 1 quarterback in accuracy while under pressure, but that's not a stat you want to bank on. So they brought in Connor McGovern at guard to start. David Edwards is brought in to be a depth guy, and they drafted Osiris Torrance from Florida to give them some interior flexibility. So if 2 of those guys hit, we're looking at a Josh Allen with time to throw, which is fucking terrifying.
God, that's scary.
He throws a bunch of interceptions. Like, that's just what you get with Josh Allen. You have to accept that he's going to throw 1 or 2 picks, like, constantly. Like, it's just what he does.
It's just minus 1 point. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, fuck it. Who cares? I don't care. Even with the turnovers. He had 14 interceptions last year, 2nd in the league, and he was still quarterback 2. It doesn't fucking matter. If Diggs continues to crush, the line gets better, and Davis, Dalton Kincaid provide utility as legitimate secondary options, Josh Allen could end up having one of the most dominant fantasy seasons of all time. I mean, that's just how it is. They play the NFC East and the AFC West this season, which means not only do we get Mahomes versus Allen in the regular season, but his fantasy playoff schedule is Dallas, the Chargers, and the Patriots. Those are defenses you could put up some fucking numbers on.
Sure.
Josh Allen is quarterback 2 on 4-for-4. Gentlemen, Josh Allen or Joe Burrow?
It's Josh Allen.
Yeah, I got to go Allen.
Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes?
Who?
4-point or 6-point touchdown?
4-point.
I'm going Allen.
Yeah, I think you got to play ceiling there.
Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts?
Oh, you motherfucker.
Ooh. No, Hurts going to have a year with Brown. I'm okay. Going Hurts.
I'm sticking to my flag plant. Jalen Hurts, QB1.
Okay. Moving on. Stop me if you've heard this before, but drafting Bills running backs is just hoping that somehow they're going to manage something.
They're going to manage to get RB25.
But apparently James Cook looks like a 3-down back. I don't know if you guys heard.
They say that every year. so let's do some Devin Singletary fantasy finishes. Running back 28 in a timeshare with Frank Gore. Running back 39 in a timeshare with Zach Moss. Running back 24 in a timeshare with Zach Moss. And running back 30 in a timeshare with James Cook.
No, thank you.
You know, Shane, you talked about how often the Titans run into a loaded box. The Bills run against light boxes at the second highest rate in the league.
Yeah, because they're going against Stephon Diggs.
They were first in the league in yards before contact, and we're still at running back 28, right? So if they can't successfully generate fantasy-relevant running backs, even with every metric pointing towards them doing it well, it's still not going to happen in 2023. Sure. Buffalo running backs had the lowest amount of carries in the league last year. And even though Singletary and Cook were great on first down, the Bills still passed at the third highest rate. Don't care. Just, Josh, go throw the ball.
And when he's putting up A.J. Dillon numbers, you don't need running backs.
You don't.
Yeah.
So we've got James Cook, and like the metrics really like James Cook. His true yards per carry rate was huge, which is a number that factors out long runs to help clearly define like consistency. He had 28 runs on first down and had over 4 yards per contact per carry. I mean, he was doing great, but he was never the alpha back. Instead, operating at times as like an elite change of pace back. And I think that's why like Damien Harris is brought in, Latavius Murray got brought in. Buffalo has one solid, good runner at cost, and it's Josh Allen. Right?
Yeah.
Josh Allen had 26 red zone carries last year. James Cook had 13.
Wow.
Devin Singletary had 34 red zone carries last year. Hey! Gotta yell at my cat.
Special guest.
Yeah, right?
Late Chase.
So,
calm down.
Yeah, get out of here. So Devin Singletary had 34 red zone carries, but I think those numbers probably end up going more towards Josh Allen.
I like it.
Like, Damien Harris is going to get a bunch because he's a bruiser. But Josh Allen's just going to get a third of all of the backfield work here. And nothing I've ever seen would indicate that one of these backs is going to be featured as the main guy. Cook is a fun profile. He's a good football player, but I think he's absolutely a trap this year.
That whole running back room is a trap.
Yeah, I'm staying away from Buffalo running backs for sure.
I love Damien Harris in a DFS format. I'm good on Cook in redraft. So James Cook is running back 36 on 4 for 4, and I think that's a fair price. So I'll ask you guys, James Cook or Khalil Herbert?
Herbert.
Yeah, Herbert.
James Cook or Rashad Penny?
Ooh.
Penny. It's Penny. It's Penny.
I'll go Cook.
Okay. James Cook or Zach Charbonnet?
Charbonnet.
Fucking Charbs, bro. All
right. So let's talk wide receivers. Stephon Diggs, whoops ass. For the last 3 years, whoops ass. Target volume actually went down, which is funny because they had so many vacated targets last year. It doesn't matter. He was still wide receiver 6. He had one cold stretch and one not finished game that held him back from at least coming close to Jefferson's wide receiver 1 numbers. Like, without that cold stretch, he's there, man. Sure. He's still going to get between 150 to 170 targets on one of the best offenses in football. His drop rate is under 2%, comically low. We all realize that Gabe Davis is not a threat to his looks. And if the slot guy role pans out, his quality of target goes up. If he can keep his streak of double-digit touchdowns going into a third straight season, he's a lock again for a top-10 finish and should end up a top-5 if things go right. I think Stephon Diggs is quickly turning into, like, 2 years ago, Davante Adams, putting up outrageous numbers.
Well, I don't think, honestly, I think it's not a if everything goes right. I think it's as long as things don't go wrong.
Sure. I feel like with the Adams comp, it's because they're both so consistently brilliant that everyone's just kind of like, yeah, okay.
Sure.
He was above the 95th percentile in reception perception success rates against man, zone, and press coverages, taking home their, like, this is the best and most efficient receiver in football last year crown. He broke his first tackle 43% of the time when he caught the ball in space. So he's an underrated space creator. That's
so awesome.
Yeah. That's like not quite like Debo AJ Brown levels, but that's a lot higher than you would just think about with Diggs.
Yeah.
So, gentlemen, I'm sorry in advance. Stephon Diggs is wide receiver 6 on 4-for-4. Stephon Diggs or Tyreek Hill?
It's Diggs. Ooh.
I like Diggs.
Okay. Stephon Diggs or Davante Adams?
Diggs.
Wow. Okay. Stephon Diggs or CeeDee Lamb?
Oh, Diggs. God.
You guys were both in lockstep on the first two and then diverged completely on the third.
I think I'm going to go Lamb.
Okay. All right, so despite the disappointment at cost, Gabe Davis was still wide receiver 36 in fantasy points per game. It certainly helps that he had 11 touchdowns.
Right.
And apparently an ankle injury.
He had some crazy good games last year. Did he have multiple games where he had 3 touchdowns?
He had that Pittsburgh game was insane.
Yeah.
The good thing about Davis, though, is that his role is unchanging forever. He had 93 targets last year, and only 27 of those were shorter than 9 yards from the line of scrimmage.
Wow.
Fucking he down there somewhere.
So, right. With the addition of Dalton Kincaid, I think that means that by nature there will be less targets for this offense. But when you look at what mouths they come out of, I don't think Davis faces a big loss because of how far his ADOT is. Right, I don't think there's a ton of lost production there because Kincaid's going to be the short guy if he's in the slot. Gabe Davis is not a bad receiver, but he does one thing really well, right? But everyone saw the Kansas City game and they're like, oh my God, he's the guy. Expectations were way too high.
Yeah, busted coverage.
Right.
Right. Reception perception brought up a good point that his success rates are low because he really only does a couple things well. And for him to be a great fantasy asset, he needs to pick up new things that he just doesn't do.
For sure.
His previous best finish was wide receiver 60, so a wide receiver 36 season is good, but his ceiling is capped. I think he's a low-end wide receiver 3 that you'll keep on your bench until the bye weeks hit and hope for a big game. I don't know. I like my wide receivers to get around 90 targets. But if he gets it around, if he gets 90 targets at his ADOT, he could be a tiny bit of a post-hype sleeper. Like, he could do all right. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not super bullish on him, but I think in his range of outcomes, there is a very, very low-end wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3 finish there. It's possible.
Yeah.
So right now, he's wide receiver 42 on 4-for-4. So, Gabe Davis or Jackson Smith and Jigba?
Ooh. I'm going to go Gabe.
Okay.
Give me JSN. Give me that playoff push.
Okay. Gabe Davis or Jacoby Myers?
Ugh. I'm going to go Gabe again. Better offense.
Yeah, that's the only reason why.
All right, cool. So, let's move on. So I think we're just straight up projecting Dalton Kincaid to be the slot receiver in this offense. Isaiah McKenzie is gone. When I wrote this, my guess was that Cole Beasley was answering questions from a grand jury about where he was on January 6th. But now he's in New York. And if you don't take, you don't like, look, I know there's been a Twitter arguments back and forth about Dalton Kincaid this last week. And I think the answer is, as always, somewhere in the middle, because, like, he's going to get slot routes, but he's still a rookie tight end, right? Just period.
Right.
You didn't take him in the first round to not use him.
I don't know how well he's going to do as well. But just, do you remember, like I said earlier in the podcast, Dawson Knox's regression with targets from Allen completely regressed from the year before.
Correct.
I don't I don't know if Allen's going to go back to targeting the tight end a lot. But now that we don't have McKenzie, like you said, you could see some sneaky stuff. It's all going to be game script. But
well, like you've been saying, Tony, he's going to go 20 1 week and then zero for 3 weeks and then 20 again. He's just going to be very frustrating to predict.
Well, right. I think he will play the slot, and Knox, I think you'll see both of them on the field quite a bit.
I mean, they didn't pay Knox $40 million to do nothing, right?
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, he's going to get a lot of involvement in those two tight end routes and stuff, but...
So Ryan, when you did like your tight end like research, what was Kincaid for you? Was he number one, number two?
On Buffalo?
No. But before the pre-draft process happened, like who did you have? Like Kincaid was he below like Laporta, below so Mayer?
Before the draft, Kincaid was probably top six.
Okay.
He wasn't my consensus like top three or anything. I honestly don't understand. I think it's just because he got drafted to Buffalo that everyone's on him now. That's really the only thing. I don't think he's the most athletic tight end out of the guys that got drafted. He just happened to end up on one of the best offenses in the NFL.
He was pretty much before the draft, he was in everyone's top three, and then as soon as the draft happened, he became everyone's number one, right?
Remember when Darnell Washington was tight end one for like 4 hours? LOL.
Yeah.
The landing spot is why everyone's going crazy about it, and I think I get it because it is a good fit, right? If you've got Knox to be your inline blocker, Kincaid can't block for shit, so all of us watched his tape and said he's a slot receiver, which means inevitably in a couple of years he's going to get the Jimmy Graham treatment when it comes time to negotiate a second contract.
I hope so. That'd be so awesome.
Like he's going to run 70% of his routes as a wide receiver, and they're going to be like, nope, you're a tight end, sorry. The issue with Kincaid is that I don't think he provides enough blocking upside to be a red zone personnel guy. Like, we talk shit about Dawson Knox, but he still caught 6 touchdowns, right?
Right.
And so Knox makes his money off short touchdown passes, and if Kincaid's not a serious blocking threat, he's not going to be the tight end in those goal line packages.
That's a good point.
For him to return on your investment, he has to be the slot guy. Like, that's it.
True.
McKenzie and Knox had a combined 127 targets last year. So I don't think it's unreasonable for Kincaid to get 50 to 60 of those, with Knox getting 30 to 40 and maybe like a little bit of Khalil Shakir in there. I think Kincaid is one of the sexier blob plays this season, but he's not my tight end one.
No, not at all.
So I have a question for you. Dalton Kincaid, who was tight end 22 on 4 for 4 last I checked. Dalton Kincaid or Cole Kmet?
Wow. I'll go Kincaid just because Komet's going to fall into the curse of just getting a bunch of money, and now he's going to fall into the abyss.
Sure.
Yeah, give me the ceiling.
All right, and let's end with Dalton Kincaid versus Dalton Schultz in the Dalton Bowl.
Wow. I like Schultz, but I don't think his new team is going to translate well for him, so I'm going to go Kincaid.
Okay.
I was going to say the exact opposite. If I project the George Kittle type scheme for him, I'm in on Schultz.
Okay. All right, so that's the Bills. Let's run through the schedule.
Yeah.
All right. Week one, Jets.
Win. Spanking.
Week two, Raiders.
Spanking.
Win.
Week three, away at Washington.
Spanking.
Win.
Week four, home against Miami.
That'd be close, but at least we gave, I'm pretty sure. Oh, no, we didn't talk about Miami yet. Yeah, I think that's a win.
Okay.
I'm going to call a split against Miami.
No Jalen Ramsey, though, so Diggs is going to have to cook somebody else.
So I'll give Miami the win when they play in Miami.
Yeah.
And it'll make sense when we get there. So they're still undefeated. We have them at 4-0 in London, Jacksonville.
Ooh, that'll be a good game.
Ooh, that'll be close. And
I think the owl.
I kind of like it just because Jacksonville is the home team London favorite.
Yep.
Yep. So we got one loss. Next up, at home against the Giants.
W.
Yeah, I win.
Then they go to Foxborough to play the Patriots.
W.
Win.
Then they go back home to play Tampa.
W.
I don't even think Tampa scores a field goal.
Okay, and then they go to Cincinnati.
That's a loss.
Yeah, let's give them their first loss against Cincinnati.
Well, second one, because their first American loss.
Yeah, sorry.
And then they play at home against Denver.
Win.
That'd be close, but yeah, I think it's a win.
Okay, then they go on short rest. They go to, they play at home against the Jets.
On Thursday night?
They go from a Monday night to a Sunday.
Oh. At the Jets, or
we said they split, right? We said they split to the Jets.
No, I said split on Miami.
No, we gave them two against the Jets, I think.
Okay, all right, then we got to count it.
And then they go play in Philly.
L.
Let's call it a loss.
Then their bye week. They have a late bye week. And then they go to Arrowhead to play Kansas City.
Oh, that's gonna be a good game. It's an L.
Ryan, you agree?
I'm gonna call it a win.
Okay, so
but I think they lose in the playoffs to Kansas City because Buffalo's cursed in the playoffs.
Okay, so we got a vibe here. They go play at home Dallas.
It's a win.
Sure. And in Buffalo for sure, because that's the latter part of the season. It'll be colder.
Then they go to LA to play the Chargers.
That's a win.
I think that's a win. And then they play at home against New England.
W.
Win.
And then the last game of the season is in Miami. And we decided that's a loss. And I agree, because if they're only at either four or five losses, there's a chance they don't play their stuff.
Right.
Yeah. 13-4.
13-4.
They win the division.
Yep. You know, like we said earlier, the AFC playoffs, Ouroboros is Cincinnati beats Buffalo and KC beats Cincinnati. Like, that's the circle of life. So that's it. We did it. We're moving on. We did the Bills. We did the Titans. We did the Jets. We're getting close to the end, guys. Let's talk about who we're doing next week. Shane, you ready?
No. Fuck. Every time, dude.
Got you. You got cocky last week.
I did. So, I actually thought about it halfway through the last episode. I was like, I got to pull that sheet up, and then I got distracted.
Shane, you got a couple stinkers left. I'm not going to lie to you.
I do.
We all know that I'm doing the Jets. Or, sorry, the Jags.
That's all you got left.
Yeah, Ryan, you're almost free.
I have Carolina and the Rams. I think I'm going to go Carolina, because Carolina is set, and I can talk Miles Sanders.
Okay. We'll go Carolina, and Ryan is doing the Jags. To me, it's between Minnesota and Miami. What do you guys think?
I think you go Miami, man, because Dalvin Cook's pretty much a lock for the Jets.
Okay, yeah, I'll do the Dolphins. So
I say that, and then he's going to be like, oh, they didn't give me enough money.
Right? So we will come back to you next week with the Panthers and the Jaguars and the Miami Dolphins.
Kind of cats.
Yeah. Any last thoughts before we go?
Nope. I'm fried.
Yeah. This was a long one, you guys. We're almost to the end, so thanks for sticking with us, and then we'll see you guys next week for 93.
Hell yeah.
Be well.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night. See ya.